Is it? Is it?
Oh.
Is it? Oh, that is excellent. Excellent.
Here's Johnny!
Push me for
excellent.
Push me for push me for
in the Haunted Basement Studios.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And this is Ghostly Talk.
It sure is. Why not?
Why are we being so assertive?
Good question. I don't know. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah. No. Corporate didn't send it down.
I know.
So we're going to get probably yelled at tomorrow when we have to go into the offices with the executives. That's going to suck.
Yeah, that's what happened.
All right, what's up, people? Yeah, this is Ghostly Talk.
Do you know what? We have a live caller line, in case you didn't notice or get the memo. Speaking of which, I did send out a memo to all the people who've registered at the Ghostly Talk site.
Yeah.
I sent out an email with the number.
Okay.
The secret number is, not a secret, 1-888-520-1969. So, 888-520-1969, toll free. Oh, that's
wow.
A cute little sound that the
mixer
makes nowadays.
Yeah. Mine sounds like a phone. That's because I had the wrong mic.
Oh, did I mic the wrong?
Just
darn
go
it.
With it, Doug. I'm going to take care of this.
Okay. Well, anyway.
All right. Well, what's the sound like?
Switch it to mic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Turn his mic down. We're going to do some technical stuff while I intro the show. What's going to happen tonight? We're going to talk about... Now, this is really bizarre, because when we were talking about topics, this is one that I probably wanted to veto, but I didn't. And what happens is, yeah. What? How's that? Is that better?
Rock and roll, UTQ.
How's that sound?
We're gonna get copyright infringement out. No.
Go
anyway,
ahead.
So what happens is they want to talk about and I'll talk about it too. Getting rid of ghosts, which is kind of a bizarre thing.
Well, that's if that's your thing.
Yeah.
Personally, me, I mean. I don't really see the sense in kicking somebody out of their space. I mean, it's something interesting to bring up.
But what I don't like about getting rid of ghosts is, you know, I try so hard to find them, and then see who need to get rid of them. So the two opposite ends of the spectrum. But we are going to talk a little bit about getting rid of ghosts. We're going to take live callers.
Yeah.
At 1-888-520-1969.
Yeah.
We're going to probably talk about a couple other things as well. But,
yeah,
so
well, whatever we feel like talking about.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
since it's our show.
Yeah.
And all. Well, it's actually the listener's show.
It is.
Because
this was a suggested topic, too.
Yeah, we try to listen to what folks say and put on the program what you guys want, not what, you know. I mean, we want to talk about stuff, too, but we'll talk about anything. And why not talk about getting rid of ghosts?
Well, since this show's inception, we've said this on. Billion times.
Hey, there's no compressor. No
okay,
billion.
Sorry. But we always take suggestions, and it isn't like we get the email and it goes, all right, great, another listener goes in the garbage. That isn't what happens. We actually read them. I don't know if anybody else does, but we do.
Well, yeah, we read them. I didn't respond to a couple of them that I've gotten in the past week that I need to respond to because I've been, you know, doing some stuff.
Yeah.
But No, not drugs. I've been doing other projects. Yeah.
Well, we have had a problem with that in the past because we read every single piece of mail that comes to us.
Yes.
We do. But unfortunately, sometimes we just don't have the time to reply to them away.
But we do read them, and we do reply eventually.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, anyone else. And so if you send us an email, you will get a response eventually.
I mean, we've had angry listeners.
Yeah, we had that.
I emailed you a week ago, and you didn't email me back.
And I felt so bad.
Yeah, so did I.
And but I'm so glad that
I did.
You know, we did email back, and we're like, you know, sorry about that. It's just, you know, been quite hectic.
Yeah,
online.
Well, like I said before, we don't sit here in this basement, chain smoking, drinking Diet Pepsi all week long. Sometimes. Well, sometimes we do. But on a normal week, we go to work. And we can't always get stuff in as much as we'd like to.
I know. So. Not a full-time job, it's a hobby. I have to say, though, okay, since we've been on Zero Point Radio, my life has never gotten both easier or more complicated. Because Zero Point Radio...
I have to agree.
Yeah, Zero Point Radio, zeropointradio.com, you know, it's an awesome network. It's a, you know, they program paranormal talk shows and they've got some cool music shows and some old shows. They've just got all kinds of stuff. The hosts are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I've suddenly had to spend tons of time in the Zero Point Radio chat room.
Yeah.
So those of you who don't know how to get in there, we've made it's even easier to talk to us and talk to the other hosts on Zero Point Radio.
This is how I contact Doug now, because I can't get him any other way. Before it was like I just come here on Sunday and go, dude, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But now I just go to the IRC room.
Yeah, at the Zero Point Radio.
Yeah.
You go to www.zeropointradio.com, click on, along the top there's a menu, you click on Interact, and then go down to Chat. That takes you to a webpage with an IRC chat thingy in it. You sign into it.
Yeah.
You get to pick a name and everything like that. And you sign into it, and then you have to type /join /Zero Point Radio.
Now, a lot of people don't know what the pound sign means all the time. So we'll tell you what the pound sign means. You ever been in elementary school and you were bored in class, and you were looking at your buddy next to you, and you're like, what are we going to do? And you play tic-tac-toe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's
the pound sign.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because a lot of our listeners are not in the United States. And the pound sign in England, for example, pound like money pound, pound sterling, et cetera, is like a funny-looking L kind of backwards... you know, L-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that one.
No.
No. It's the thing that looks like a number sign or a tic-tac-toe board.
Tic-tac-toe board. Yeah.
Just
to clarify, now we've completely insulted the intelligence of our whole listener base.
I know. We're going to get emails, but they aren't going to be very pretty this week. No.
How to get rid of ghosts.
Yes.
What kind of question is that?
First, call us. We'll come over. We'll take pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, of the ghosts.
I'm not very good at getting rid of them. I don't really know how to do it. I really don't want to, because I believe myself that when you go and start doing stuff like that, you're messing with things beyond your control.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think that a lot of times you do need somebody, you know, probably fairly qualified to get rid of ghosts or get rid of, you know, nasty paranormal things.
Yeah.
You need somebody very qualified, highly qualified, who's done it before, who's trained with other people.
That lady on Poltergeist, for example.
Yes, if you could get Zelda Rubinstein.
Carolyn, run to the light!
So, Zelda, call us. Anyway, the what happens is you need, like, somebody qualified, I think, not just, you know, because, like, I'm an amateur ghost hunter.
I think we're better broadcasters than ghost get rid of us.
Definitely. Yeah, we're even amateur broadcasters.
Yeah,
so. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, what we need to do is we need to, you know, figure out who can get rid of these things and then go with them. But we did dig up some information.
Yeah, we did have a really cool article by Jacob Jack Donlevy.
Yes.
Okay, he's a doctor. Ghost hunter, investigator, advisor on occultism also. He has a very intensive article on how to get rid of ghosts.
So we're going to analyze the
bounce through it a little bit and talk about it. Now here's an interesting thing that he brought up that I never really thought of before, I probably have heard about it, but I was out of it when I heard about it or something like that. But one of the points he makes, you know, he's like, well, how do you can you get rid of ghosts? Okay, well, he starts off with definitely maybe, which I love that term.
Definitely maybe.
Yeah. Residual hauntings. We've talked about residual hauntings 1,000 times here. Fade over time if the energy isn't replenished. I really want to hit on that for a second, because we talk about residual hauntings. Well, what's a residual haunting, guys? Well, it is something, it's like a play loop. It happens over and over again, okay? Usually, as far as like stats on this particular phenomenon, it results from a very traumatic experience that someone may have had in that particular location or area. And what happens is you'll see, you know, like we talked about, the maiden will walk over the bridge at 12 o'clock on November 22nd. Every, you know, at midnight or whatever.
Right.
You know, and that's where you get all these legends from, and you got thousands of people.
Like us.
freezing ourselves half to death.
Going and trying to get this on film.
Okay, so there you go. That's a residual haunting. Now, he throws this other element into the equation now, like, okay, if there isn't something there to keep the power going, if there isn't something there just to keep the energy there, it'll fade out.
Over time.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's something that I've heard about things like that.
Uh-huh.
I've heard about when you go in and like for example the classic is the ghost, you know, somebody getting killed on a staircase and then tumbling down the staircase, and that scene happens over and over and over.
Uh-huh.
Or somebody wandering along the beach looking for a long lost love, like Minnie Quay here in Michigan.
Like me.
and like you. And then what happens is when not so much the beach one, but the one with the staircase, if they go in and like tear down the building or renovate the building, sometimes then the haunting, repetitive haunting, the residual haunting, sometimes goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because, you know, the place no longer exists. Now there's the
dimensions of where that energy laid. Like, you're talking about taking and renovating a whole area.
Right, and if they've changed it enough, it may have shifted, like, you know, in this particular, what he's talking about, it may have shifted all the energy balance around, and now there's nothing left to sustain that residual haunting.
Yeah.
There's other ones, though, like, there's a famous photo of some monks or priests or something like that, and they're in a church. And, I wish I could remember the name of the
I think
place.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
like,
what it is,
like two.
You only see them from their knees up.
Uh-huh.
You don't see their feet. And they find out later that, you know, when going through the history of the church itself, the church has been renovated and now has a floor higher than it used to be. So these ghost monks or ghost priests or whatever they are doing their ritual. You know,
they were praying?
No, they are walking.
So they're basically
down the hall, the aisleway of the church.
All right.
And so what happens is, and I've seen the photo. It's a famous photo. I just can't remember it.
I know what you're talking about.
But
too.
they're doing their ritual, but they're doing it, you know, lower where the old floor of the church used to be.
Well, we're starting to get into some serious like physics about this stuff. As far as another point I wanted to make here. Another thing Mr. Don Levy brings up is, can a ghost follow you home from a haunted location?
Well, that's actually something that we get, people write questions all the time.
I want to mention this, though. We talked about this a few weeks ago, before we went to this whole new format and everything like that. We went out on a hunt, this must have been about a month ago now, or a few weeks ago, and our on-site psychic, Kelly, we ended up going to that house, remember, Will? And we ended up going up to the attic. I told the whole story because I stayed up there with her myself. I ran audio.
Right.
Stayed up there with her myself. And I asked her to ask this particular lady who was, you know, she was channeling through, like, what would happen if this house was just demolished? If this house was leveled? Because, okay, to be quite honest with you, the house isn't too far from that anyways. But, I mean, if the house was demolished, would you still be here? And she said, yes, I would still be here. I'm not going anywhere. This is my area. And I equated that to, well, what dogs do. I mean, you ever been chased by a dog down the street?
And then it stops.
Yeah, there's no fence, there's no nothing, but he has his barrier that he's peed all over probably.
Right. He knows. He marked his territory.
Now, I'm not saying ghosts pee on stuff. I'm just saying, you know, that there is a barrier. So we're talking about, there's a whole bunch of stuff right here in this topic, well, the subject of the topic alone, which I'm pretty confused right now.
I know, I'm like all over the place.
But that's all right, though. We'll start from the beginning, then.
Yeah.
We're talking about residual haunting.
Yeah, and we're talking about the energies.
Yeah, the energies.
That perhaps construction could...
construction could do that.
Could make it fade over time.
But Mr. Don Levy's theorizing is that, well, you said it needs something to keep the energy there.
Right.
I was thinking more along the lines of people.
Well, that's what I always think of when I think of these kinds of energies, is people.
People.
Because people have, we're basically biochemical furnaces.
Yeah.
You know, with energies and electricity in our bodies and firing off neurons and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, well, what we have, let's set up a situation.
Okay.
Your stairway, Doug, the stairway that goes down into the Haunted Basement Studios.
Yeah.
Let's just use a stairway because they're popular.
Yeah, they are popular.
Every
week
at 12 o'clock Tuesday night.
Yeah.
We see the ghosts of, come on, help me with this, Doug. This is your house.
The former owners of the farm that all of this, this whole subdivision was planted on. So we'll call it, George Schultz.
Okay. Mr. Schultz walks down the stairs. That's all we see. We'll keep it simple. Mr. Schultz, every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, he walks down the stairs. And this has been going on for a number of years, ever since you were a child, Doug, when you were in this house as a little boy.
Remember, this is a fictitious.
This is completely
setup,
this is completely set up.
We're just getting a situation going that we can analyze.
Yeah. Now, why does it keep doing that? If this house was abandoned, for example, would that still be going on here?
Oh yeah. Does a tree make a sound when it falls in the woods?
Thank you.
When there's nobody around to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good question.
But does it need humans?
Somebody
people,
to see it.
Somebody to see it and somebody to power it. I'm sure that your family, your parents, you, your brothers, spent a lot of time here because you live here. That's crazy. And there was a range of emotions that were cast out here.
Through the years.
Okay. Could that be what was powering Mr. Schultz to do that?
Well, that's the kind of thing that I normally equate with powering the supernatural, or making the ability for the veil between the worlds to become thinner and then things to be able to be seen.
Yeah.
That's what I always equate it with is human energies.
But if you guys never lived here, this house was deserted.
Or if this house was not here, would there still be a ghost?
Well, okay.
Going through those motions.
Yeah. Would there still be something going on?
Well,
if you came here as a ghost hunter, MGB's going out.
Yeah.
And we're going to check out this house that used to be owned by the Semigs. I don't know, some weirdo thing, the Semigs. And, They said there's supposed to be a ghost that walks down the stairs or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's go check it out. You know, 9 times out of 10, we don't see anything anyway, so probably on that expedition we wouldn't see anything either.
Right.
Would that be as a result of no one being here to power that?
So had the apparition faded away?
Yeah.
Over time. Good question.
I mean, that's something you guys can think about. That's what I got out of just that one sentence. Like,
well, out of that one sentence, I thought of a lot of things because I thought of contradictory things, such as the fact that renovations sometimes make things go away, but at the same time, sometimes renovations are completely ignored. And then then what you brought up with the investigation with Kelly, the spirit had said that no, she'd be there whether the house was there or not.
Yeah, but
so there's both ends of the spectrum.
That goes into the amount of energy, though, too. Now, I didn't see anybody that night with Kelly. I didn't see any ghosts. I didn't see anything. Kelly was channeling, and she was talking to this person, this young lady is what she was. But we've talked about amounts of energy it takes to, we've talked about the different levels, different types of ghosts.
Yeah.
Could it still be going on? For example, your staircase. There could very well still be somebody walking down that staircase at 12 o'clock on Tuesday night or Monday or Wednesday morning.
You can't see it?
You just can't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, is there degrees of variance here? Could it, isn't just an on-off switch. Could it be gradual, like a dimmer switch?
I would think it could be. Because like they say with the veil between the worlds,
Yeah.
it gets thinner and thicker. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes you'll be able to see through and sometimes you won't be able to. One would think that.
I mean, that's a really wide open question.
I'd love to
that's
study that.
That's scary.
More.
It's a scary question because, I mean, think about that, people. What do you think? Is it on or off, or is it a dimmer switch? That's the way I'm looking. That's the way I think about it now.
But remember, this is all theoretical stuff too. I mean,
horribly theoretical.
Painfully theoretical. But I'm glad you saw so much in that sentence too, because I was interested in that as well. And we get to if you guys call in between 7:30 and 8, let us know what you think about it.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about what he says. Doesn't he go into the different kinds of ghosts, or is it...
That's what you have, because you're a better reader than I am on the air. And that's why I'm like, oh, you're going to read this.
Yeah.
I can't read it.
Yeah.
Well, we did mention, can a ghost follow you home?
Oh, that is one of the frequently asked questions. I mean, that is something that we get asked all the time.
All the time. And
we've heard people say their theories, many different theories.
Yeah.
From yes, no, maybe, sometimes. I mean, every answer you could think of has been, you know, postulated to us.
Well, what we used to do when we first started ghost hunting together, that was one thing that you stressed a lot, was when we went to a cemetery specifically, because there's lots of ghosts, there's lots of dead people there.
Right, yeah.
That was one thing Doug would always stress. Before we leave, guys, thank the spirits. And say, you know what? No, you got to stay here. I got to go. Okay, stay here. Don't follow me home. You know, I don't have enough room I can't house
right.
you. Okay.
And you
stressed that a lot.
Yeah, and I think that it's important. What's really interesting is in this particular article, Mr. Don Levy says that it's pretty much as simple as that. He says you can protect yourself or whatever by saying some kind of ritualistic thing,
a
prayer.
He says the Lord's Prayer.
Well, yeah, he says the Lord's Prayer, or simply by asking them or telling them.
Just here to observe.
Yeah, just here to observe. And also, or by, you know, taking a religious artifact, if you're a religious person, envisioning yourself in a white protective light.
Yeah.
So you can protect yourself from spirits following you home from your ghost hunts and stuff like that by doing any of these ritualistic things. And I have a feeling what he doesn't say here, because it's a very short article. That's a very short little snippet, right?
Yeah.
Did I miss any, by the way, before I tell you what my feeling is?
No, you didn't miss anything at all.
Oh, okay, cool.
Excellent.
I did that from memory, too.
Whoa, hey, look out.
Yeah. What my feeling is, I think it's more the intent than the actual, the intent and then the outward, the outward manifestation of the intent.
Okay.
Your intent is not to have, evil energies or even good energies, no ghosts, no nothing, follow you home.
No.
Okay? That's your intent. So
yes.
You have an intent in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you outwardly display that intent outwardly or inwardly, by doing one of these various things.
Mm-hmm.
Actually saying the Lord's Prayer, or mm-hmm. actually saying the, I'm only here to observe, actively saying, don't follow me home, I don't have time for you, I can't do it at night, I can't help you, that kind of thing, or actively carrying around your crucifix or whatever, I don't know what they are,
those
little things that, of religious significance.
Whatever your belief is, there's all types of symbols.
Rosary beads. And
rosary
stuff.
Beads,
that's
yeah.
pretty much what a lot of folks wear for protection and to symbolize their faith. And by actively doing something or by internally visualizing yourself with a white light, even though, other people wouldn't be able to see, surrounded by a white light, by the way, people wouldn't actually be able to see this white light, but you have acted upon your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You have done something to, you've taken time, and you've made your intentions known by actively doing something about them and visualizing yourself, with a protective aura of white light around you, is actively doing something about your intentions. So your intentions are there, and there's something else that basically activates those intentions or shows those intentions. I think those are probably the two things. That's when I read that bit. The two things that you know, cause you to be protected from ghosts and stuff like that following you home.
I think
that's my
another
theory.
Thing, yeah. I think another thing to add on to your theory, which I think you'll concur with me also, is you mentioned something about intentions. If you're going to go do something like this, we've been out with people like this before.
Yeah.
Where their intent was different from the rest of the group.
Do you know, we could, let's talk about that between 8 and 8:30.
Okay.
You're talking about the folks who want to actively call ghosts and stuff
that
like that?
That is part of it.
Let's talk about that between 8 and 8:30
okay.
after the phone thing. Because, as a matter of fact, write that down, or if I should...
I got it. I got
someone
it.
IM me, because I really want to talk about that. I think that's an excellent, excellent topic.
Okay, no problem at all. We'll move on then.
Cool.
Yeah, so, well, going off of yours, though, what you did already lay down to people, white light. I mean, that's what I've always done.
Well, white protective light, yes.
That's what I've always done.
I've always consider yourself safe and protected by, what they call it, God's white light or angel light or, you know, it's a white protective aura. And whether you attach any significance to God or angels or whatever, you're calling upon the goodness of whatever inside and outside of you to protect you from, you know, the...
potential evil spirits, so to say.
Right.
Either of us have ever really had a problem with that in the past.
We've imagined ourselves being haunted, but
something
falls down and out of the cupboard or something, and you think, guess what? I think something followed me home. But
I did talk about that one time in my room, in my old place.
In the room, the desk, and then there was also the eerie feeling in the basement while you were.
That was just, but
clothes.
I clearly people. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was. At my old apartment complex, there was a basement. You've been down there.
Yeah.
Dingy old basement with washer and dryer.
It's like
the
perfect setting.
It's a perfect setting for a ghost to come running up to you. And I never thought anything of it until I started ghost hunting.
Right.
And I'm getting, actively into it. And after that, one day I'm down there pulling clothes out of the dryer, and I find myself looking over my shoulder now. And every once in a while, I still do that. I'll just do that, so I'll get a feeling. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to just keep this brief. You know that Tom from PaperTarget.net sent me that email, or he posted it somewhere, about that, with that flash thing, with that face. That thing that just, like, it scares that living bejesus out of you. You know what I'm talking about, Will, right?
Oh, that's that thing going around the internet.
That thing scared. That thing had me spooked for a week.
Yeah.
That's stupid because I was by myself at home and I'm like, this horrible MIDI music's going behind there and there's snowflakes falling on top of Stonehenge, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden I don't even remember what it was, but out of nowhere, this face pops in.
Yeah.
It was the most hideous face. It's perfect to scare me.
Yeah.
Take that face if you want to scare me. And put it somewhere, and just that face.
And then when you run across it, you will be
that face did
scared.
That face did me in for a week easily. So you do get like that though. I do.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie about it. I get spooked every once in a while, and
yeah,
that goes right back to my childhood. That's
but now whenever anything unexplainable happens, I try to embrace it and call out to it and say, all right, I'm here. If you want to talk.
Well,
about
I called you that night in my bedroom when everything exploded
when,
on me. I'm like, dude, what just happened to me?
Yeah.
So we just got done doing a show.
The desk just did something.
It just smacked on me and made noise. I don't know what the heck the deal was. Tell you what, though, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. Get our bearings back. It is 7:30. It's 00:00. We want to know what you guys think. Give us a call here, 1-888-520-1969. We'll be back in a minute.
out of duck.
Hey, what's up, Buck?
Well, you know I've been working on that phone thing?
Yeah.
Mostly talk?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think I finally got it. I got one of the toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah? What's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Let me write this down. It's 1-888.
Yeah.
520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later, dude.
Cool. Catch up.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're talking about getting rid of ghosts.
Getting rid of ghosts. At least we're trying to talk about it.
Yeah, which has become more of a difficult thing to tackle than I thought it would be.
It did, because I was thinking, you know, okay, so you just talk about the different types of ghosts and the ones that this fellow in his article said that you could, you know, could tackle.
Yeah.
And it turns out we went in true ghostly talk fashion into theories
and
into
the complete cornucopia of knowledge.
Yeah, and we're trying to present that as best we can.
Yeah.
By the way, this half hour is your half hour. You get to call in, and we'll take your call right on the air, 1-888-520-1969. But I also wanted to say hey to everyone in the Zero Point Radio chat room.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, Rez and RFB, and we love Rez, and RFB is the mastermind behind Zero Point Radio. Also, we've got, oh, you know what? LF Midwood is in the room, and that's a fellow or a lady. I don't know. I didn't get to talk to this person.
Yeah.
Who evidently has some experience in broadcasting and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
And so hopefully we'll learn a lot. Cause,
excellent.
I just happened to run across some that handle just last night. It was the first time I saw that handle in the chat room.
Okay.
And then Rich, by the way, does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie. He's in the chat room right now. And let's see, who else is there? Oh, myself, of course, and Will. and Alpha. Alpha's in the chat room. He does a show as well. So.
Excellent. Yeah, hi, everybody.
Of course, Mr. Olaf. Do you know, Mr. Olaf, if you go to www.MrOlaf.com, if you go there, that's his website. He did the new, like, we have banners for Ghostly Talk. He did those, and he did the Ghostly Talk logo in the upper left corner of our site. So.
Oh, we got a call.
We do.
Let's
cool. Let's see who's on there.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, it's Robert. It's Rich Harrison.
Oh, man.
Oh, hello.
Too cool.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
Fantastic.
What's going on?
This is Rich, who does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie.
All right.
Right? And also, he does the Harrison Comparison on as part of Resmerized, you know, Resmeranda's Resmerized show on Zero Point Radio. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, man.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I had a friend I wanted you to dig up for me.
A friend?
Oh, we got to get the shovels for this?
I once had somebody, I knew somebody that worked in a cemetery, and they were a groundskeeper.
Okay.
And they had a lot of people underneath them.
Yes, they do. About 6 feet underneath
okay,
them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to your show, man.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Hey, you guys are cool.
Well, you know, I've listened to Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie for several weeks in a row now, and I have to say, you guys, you got convinced to do your show, right? You weren't going to do that, but then Resmeranda said, you know, hey, Rich, you got to do a show, and you just started doing that, right?
She got after me with her pitchfork.
She has a pitchfork.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
Ah.
Yes, she does. It's a red one.
I I believe it. And probably a satin-lined handle as well. But,
that's true.
But,
Mr.
Yeah.
Rich, did you have any comments, any ideas about what we're talking about here today, though? Have you been listening?
He listens all the time, I hope.
Yeah.
I really have. Now, you were talking about how
get rid of
goats.
Get rid of undesirable entities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not all of them are Christian, so doing the Lord's Prayer and getting a priest in and so forth, that may not always work.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%.
Now, I do know that when I have done things with seances or spiritual meetings, one of the things that's emphasized is you really do not want to be eating a lot of garlic or raw onions.
I love onions, though, man.
What the...
Onions, too. Well, if they're cooked, they're okay.
Okay.
How come? Does that offend them or give them energy?
It's more difficult for them to come through.
Oh, I see.
But that's just one thing.
Yeah.
One thing that I found that seems to work, of course, now I use the lizard banishing ritual out of the Golden Dawn in order to kind of work, in order to clear a space to do things that are Kabbalistic in form, but that also seems to work fairly well when you've got unwanted entities in a house or are hanging around a person.
The
lesser banishing ritual.
The lesser banishing ritual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this like a magic spell, or is this more like a it says in the title, a ritual?
Well, actually, it's a ritual. It's not a spell. It's basically something that's used hermetically a lot of times. And basically, what it does is that you get rid of, you clear the working space, and then you you invite who you want in. So you don't necessarily have to invite anybody in, but then again, if you
so basically
don't,
like
the Archangel Michael or Gabriel and stuff like that, so you call those in when you do the lesser banishing ritual anyway. So you got some heavy duty entities you're calling in that are more in your favor.
As opposed to any type of
annoying
get rid of
entity. I really don't think. I mean, I never really considered. Well, I've never really had any experiences myself. But I hear people saying, you know, I from all the studying I've done over the last year and a half now, I really try to embrace, like you said earlier, Doug. I really try to embrace something if it ever would happen to me. I hope that's what I would do, is try to. Embrace it, as opposed to, and I understand what you're saying,
and
too.
And learn from it, as well.
Well, one thing I think is significant, if you get a ghost in a house or in a particular area, like a building or whatever, it would seem to me that it would be significant to find out what their deal is, you know?
Yeah, where they come from, who they were, what may have happened.
Are
in the
you
area.
Still here? You know?
Yeah, and if there's anything, like, because a lot of the theory behind ghosts is that they've got perhaps some unfinished business.
That's true.
If you can help them finish the business, and then they can move on.
I saw a couple of old ladies in a shopping mall one day like that, and that was kind of scary. Well, it wasn't scary, but it was, I thought, what are you doing here? They looked at me and smiled. Nobody else saw them.
They were in a shopping mall? Yeah, they had to get the next sale. That was their unfinished business. No, did you help them? Were you able to?
I was able to help them a little bit, but the thing I found out from them is that they left with some, like you said, unfinished business. There were a couple of people that they hadn't really said farewell to.
That's exactly what I was thinking about over the last week when I knew we were going to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the most common traits as far as someone staying here or something or whatever you want to call it, energy or whatever, a soul, a spirit, whatnot.
That's assuming that they are
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because like we talked in the first half hour about the residual hauntings, which are
like some of your battlefields and stuff like that. And it's
classic.
Just, like
yeah.
It's a rerun of what happened.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not
exactly.
Actually a conscious ghost. It's more of a replay. It's an imprint of time and space on a particular place.
Yeah, Rich, you just brought up a very interesting point, though, and you actually jostled my memory because I completely forgot about to talk about today. It was that right there. You have something that you need to take care of. You went too early. Well, at least you think you went too early. I'm a ghost, all right? I'm a ghost right now. And I have things in my life right now that if I was to get greased on the street when I left here tonight after the show, that I know I would have to take care of before I left.
Right,
there'd
and
be
people you'd say goodbye
people
to.
People I would say goodbye to and people I'd have to give that last hug to, that last kiss to, and say, look, I'm gone.
So you may resist the crossing over part, and
that's where I think a lot of this comes from. Is a lot of these people, we'll say that people that go, we all have unfinished business. I mean, unless you are at your ripe old 900 years old and you're on your deathbed, you're surrounded by your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids. You've lived a fruitful life, and they're all there for you to see you off into the next world, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a movie called Always?
Always.
Richard Dreyfuss was a firefighter.
Okay.
I don't remember that movie, but I like Richard Dreyfuss' movie.
Yeah, and what? he gets smoked, okay?
Okay.
No pun intended. he's a firefighter. He's a pilot, and his plane blows up.
Okay.
And so anyway, there's this gal he's in love with, he's engaged to, and she winds up finding herself falling in love with someone else, not really wanting to, but it kind of happens.
Yeah.
And his job in all of this is to kind of help this guy for some reason.
Oh, wait a minute.
I did see that.
That's really cool.
That was another one I'm thinking of. It had Matt, God, what was the guy's name from that, from The Outsiders? Matt Dillon. He played, actually that was a whole different scenario though, so never mind. I said that. But I understand what you're saying though. It was his job to make, I mean, probably what he was thinking in his heart. I mean, let's just take this movie and analyze it here for a second. In his heart was like, I can't love her anymore. I can't be there for her physically anymore. But I want her to be happy still. So I am going to help this person out to make her happy.
Well, he didn't start off that way.
Yeah. I'm sure there was some resistance because if I
realized that he could not be there for her like he wanted to be.
Exactly.
So he had to, what he had to do for him was to let go.
Yeah.
He had to do for her is let go and let her get on with her life.
I think this is a movie I want to see. So
this is just like, damn near jerking the tears out of me right now, I'll tell you the truth. You're depressing the hell out of me, Rich. You're killing me here. But what I was saying, though, that's exactly what you hit it right on the head, though, Rich. If I were to get greased right now, just boom, gone. Lights out, Scott. Gone.
I
go through that?
Somebody like Osama bin Laden.
I
would be a mean ghost, you know?
That wouldn't...
Well, they have an interesting theory about the afterlife anyway. So.
No kidding.
Yeah, the 17.
Oh yeah, that's
virgins,
the reason.
These,
boy, oh my God, we're taking the biggest turn we've ever taken in ghostly talk history here. I think. Yeah, they believe that they believe that if they die for Allah, they will have a harem of seven women in heaven for them. Seven women. I'm pretty sure that's it. Seven women for them. Seven virgins.
Yeah.
Now they're also Eastern women.
Oh really?
Really?
I mean seriously. Mm-hmm. Over there, women are subservient. You wouldn't want to do that if you were a Westerner. No way.
Well, considering their viewpoint on women, I've never been able to resolve that.
Now, that's pathetic to me.
Yeah, I've never been able to resolve their viewpoint on women with why would they want to go to the afterlife expecting seven of them all of a sudden? Because they just don't seem to like women.
That's a woman is compromised. Their role in society has always been compromised. I'm gonna get pissed here, and I don't want.
Yeah,
to
I know. We're in Western civilization. We have different viewpoints.
Yeah, and I mean, but I do. I mean, I. for me to say that I respect that viewpoint, though, we deal with people every week that have different viewpoints from us. They believe completely different from us, but we respect their viewpoint, though. Something like that, I can't do that. I can't respect that.
Well, I don't think I understand it enough.
Maybe that's the problem.
Respect it or not respect it, because I've never been able to get it in my head what they're thinking of.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Yeah, I look at it so much deeper than they would. It's like you're talking about they're the ones that are they're the givers of life here, man. What's up with you?
Yeah.
What's up with you? But I mean, like I said, I don't want to.
Yeah. Don't want to get into conspiracy. That's for WSRS to talk about.
You got that right.
Yeah.
So your show, Rich, we're going to let you go. I have one more question for you, and then I also want to say to everyone, your show is on. Actually, it would be, Tuesday mornings, so it's like Monday night / Tuesday morning. Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie is on Zero Point Radio, of course, at, what is it, 2 a.m.?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, 2 a.m. Eastern Time.
Uh-huh.
And I have one question for you before we let you go.
Okay, cool.
I want to know a famous person in in the paranormal field. I want you to name a famous person in the paranormal field and what they do, approximately.
That's still alive.
It could be anybody.
Okay, actually.
And this isn't like your hero or whatever. This is just somebody famous who you've studied and you either identify with or want to bring up for everybody who listens to Ghostly Talk.
Okay. Believe it or not, I'll give you two. Jackie Gleason is very interested in the paranormal.
Jackie Gleason.
Whoa.
And he was also interested in UFOs.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Also, most people aren't aware of this, but Elvis Presley was very interested in the paranormal.
Really?
Yep.
King?
I was trying to find some information out on that, but I haven't quite hit on it yet. But I do know that I do remember that he was quite interested in such things.
Well, maybe he still is around.
Yeah.
Maybe he still is alive.
I'll be on my show next time.
That would be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
If you get Elvis Presley on your show, Rich.
That'll go into constant
rotation. I'm giving up the radio business completely. I'm done.
Hey, he could do it, though. We should vote that into constant rotation on ZPR. So, well, thanks, Rich.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Rich.
I'm so glad you called.
We appreciate you calling, Rich, and thanks for listening, too.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Cool, thanks.
Talk to you soon. Bye, Rich.
Y'all are really cool.
Bye-bye.
Cool,
we'll see you. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was totally
wow.
Awesome. You know, he does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie on ZPR.
Yeah.
Awesome show. He
plays, excellent show.
You should hear this last show that he did.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I was entranced by the music. He finds music and puts music as an integral part of his show, as well as, you know, readings
what?
And...
Okay, real Rich, you're still listening, hopefully. Check out this band called Sigur Rós.
Oh, yeah. Sigur.
ROS. Space ROS.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff right there.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff.
That's like, all right. Rich really touched on something, though, that really grabbed me. And like he said, I mean, we've discussed more of the residual side of this so far.
Well, that's just because that was first in the article.
Yeah. What about, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Look, I can't go yet. I don't care if I got hit by three buses. I can't go yet. You can't let me go. I know people think about this a lot. What would happen to me if I were to die, like, right now? How would I handle this? How could I accept this? And I know, I mean, through any type of traumatic experience in your life while you're living, there is that first stage you go through, which is denial completely. You don't want to be dead. I don't care who you are or who you are out there that says, oh, life ain't nothing. I don't like being alive. When the time comes, you will be going, look, I don't want to die.
Right.
I've said it to my... someone who knows. I've been saying it for years.
Well, it could be. Or it could be that you're ready. I mean, some people are, you know, because I go around as often as I can and tell my family and loved ones and stuff like that. I tell them, I am happy.
Yeah.
I am happy right now. I am happy with you. I'm happy with me. I'm happy with a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things that could improve.
Yeah.
Always, you know. Send your donations to us.
Yeah.
or, oh, another call.
Another call, hang on.
All right, cool. Then we'll talk about this.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hi, it's Ellis Midwood. How are you?
Whoa! Hey. Oh, this is too cool. Hey, Ellis Midwood.
I just thought I'd call. You kind of called me out there, so I figured I'd just check in and see what's going on. I generally don't like to call unless I had something to say, but while I was actually waiting to call, I guess I did come up with something.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome. Well, first of all, I want to introduce you a little bit. The only thing I know about you is I'm GT Doug in the chat room,
mm-hmm.
and I ran across you in the chat room last night,
right.
And that was the first time I'd seen you in Zero Point's chat room. So I mean, I said hi and stuff, but we were doing some Zero Point stuff as well, and so I didn't get to talk, but I did hear that you were doing radio stuff for quite a number of years and are into this, you know, into the technical radio kind of side of things. So that's all I know about you so far.
I have, I guess the best way to put it would be a history of pirate radio for the last 16 years. Although,
hey, all right.
Going back about 3 years ago, one of our main people, a gentleman by the name of Alan Wiener,
mm-hmm.
granted a shortwave license out in Maine, so he's currently running a live station out there now. Some people may actually recall there was a ship set off the coast of Long Island in New York back in 87, Radio New York International. That was our original, quote-unquote, claim to fame. Actually, the ship was busted by the FCC within 3 days. We were still in test mode.
Oh, man.
God.
Yeah, well, it's supposedly international waters, but that's kind of questionable, or it was kind of questionable at the time. We kind of stood on that, and the commission didn't buy it. They were more interested in just taking us off the air, which they did. They wound up taking us to court and then actually dropping the charges after they had hacked everything up.
After that,
we wound up actually subletting time on various shortwave stations and keeping the things alive, per se. And Alan had a little damn thing going on for a little while, and then the shortwave thing came along. I myself, I go on and off with him for the most part. I kind of do it, so I get a little, I don't like to use the word tired, because you never really get tired of it, but after a while, it's not too much fun anymore.
Well, yeah, people get burned out on things.
That's the best term to use. I kind of feel like James Earl Jones from Field of Dreams, you know?
But yeah, because whenever you put so much time, energy, effort into something, and you get burned out, that's pretty much what happens.
Well, you never seem to really get back what you put into it.
Well,
and that can be kind of frustrating.
That depends on what you want, if you ask me.
Yeah, it depends on what you want. I mean, you've obviously got some great stories to tell, you know, around the campfire and to grandchildren and stuff like that. So you have gotten stuff out, even intangible things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look upon my quote-unquote broadcaster as probably the noblest aspect of my life. I've kind of mucked everything else up to one degree or another.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, no kidding.
So what's up? You thought of something to talk about. What's up?
Well, I was listening. I guess basically what you're saying in regards to the concept of spirits lingering to one degree or another, I guess basically what you're talking about is closure. I mean,
I certainly
don't have closure on various elements of my life, and I'm still alive, and that haunts me. So I can only imagine having unclosed or major unclosed issues when you pass over is only going to cause you to kind of linger.
If we had to put it into one word, that would be it.
Closure is the word.
I agree. That would be the goal.
Seems to me. Yeah.
I mean, I know myself.
While you're alive, I guess the trick is to try to get as much closure as you can on various issues, or perhaps not create issues where there are closures necessary.
Yeah, I know myself. I mean, like Doug was saying, he goes around to his family and says, look, I'm happy. So if the inevitable does happen to me, just know that.
I'm actually just starting to do that now in my family. There was a large period of time where I really wasn't talking to anybody too much. I mean, I guess everybody can use the word dysfunctional, and it's go to one degree or another.
We all have that, yeah.
Well, it took me 24 years to figure that out, personally.
There you go. I mean, I'm 32, and I'm just starting to come around now to a certain degree. I mean, things are never going to be great, but, I mean, you can just kind of maybe not linger in the past so much. Just a little bit too much negativity floating around.
Yeah.
You don't need to feed it.
Especially right. With your family, too. You know?
Yeah, because you only get the one family, you know, while you're here in the physical plane. You only get the one family.
Yeah.
And they're what you got to work with.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that I'm completely happy with mine. I don't think I'd change any of it. But at the same, you know, time, what could you change of it? You know, you can't change other people.
No, you can't.
So.
I know myself. I mean, for example, the one thing I do every day is I always call my mother. I always call my mother and talk to her. It can only be for 1 minute and go, hey, I'm still alive. I'm doing fine. I love you.
And that's important.
I tell her that every single day of my life.
Well, it gets kind of hard when a long period of time has passed. I mean, that was like a major thing for me to do, at least on my father's side of the family, to actually pick up the phone and attempt to make contact. Because now it's not even about whatever issues existed. Now it's just the passage of time.
Yeah.
That much harder. But it's and coming along.
I know. I know. That's one thing I think about now every day. What really took me to really get a clue was seeing my grandfather Lambert from my father's side, obviously, pass away, and seeing my father sit there in front of the casket. Because my dad is the hardest guy I know. He is the hardest guy on this planet. And I got the Lambert scowl. If anybody knows me personally out there, I have the classic Lambert scowl, and I get that from my father. And to see my father in front of that casket that day, and I never saw my dad just so broken to pieces, you know what I mean?
Well, that's actually one of the things that got me to start talking to my father recently was back in the early 90s, his father had died, and I certainly wasn't close with him, but my father was reasonably at one point in his life. They had a lot of unresolved issues, and I saw the impact that had on my dad.
Yeah.
They didn't have a chance to resolve them.
Yeah.
So as much as it's difficult for me to deal with my father at times, I try to keep that in mind.
Uh-huh.
But the problem in the long run is that in order to make quote-unquote peace, you really have to find it within yourself. You can't just do it for that reason that I'm doing it, so I'm trying to balance that out a little bit now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, yeah, that's interesting because what all this is meaning is that the things that we do while we're here in life, you know, inhabiting our bodies and wandering around and doing all these things, things that we do here and now pretty much are going to have an effect afterwards.
I would think so.
Well, we all have an effect on our families. We all have an effect on people around us.
Yeah, and it really brings a level of humanity to the whole topic.
Definitely. I mean, it makes it applicable to everyone.
Yeah, we're talking about ghosts, yet it all starts here. I mean...
Well, it's spirit. It's of a spiritual nature. I think what we're talking about is primarily of a spiritual nature, even in the physical plane. I mean, we all have energy, whether you believe or not. We all are projecting some sort of energy.
Yeah, and I know, like I said, I don't care how much of a loser... This goes to everybody. I don't care how much of a loser you think you are. There is somebody out there that does care about you that much that they will miss you
a lot
when you're gone.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. There's
dramatically.
Always somebody.
I've often wondered the conversations that would take place during my funeral.
You know, they actually play with that sometimes in Hollywood, where, you know, people come back and to view their own funeral and stuff like that.
I would definitely sign up for that ticket. I'll do that before the space shuttle, definitely.
Yeah, it's got to be fascinating. What's next in for you? Are you going to do more shows?
Actually, it's been maybe about a year now since I was anywhere near a live microphone. The option is always open to me. I always manage to leave the door open. The crew that I was working with, a couple of personality conflict problems that go back way too far to kind of mend.
Yeah.
I was in there working with them for a while, and it's just old things kind of creep back up again, and it started being detrimental to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of bowed out and just laying low. Right now, I'll tell you the truth, I guess I'm still going through burnout. I mean, I really don't even listen to radio too much anymore. Just coast every now and then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I started listening to Lou a lot, and that's how I got turned on to Zero Point.
Well, if you ever get the itch, work up a show and send it over to RFB and...
I'll definitely keep that in mind, guys.
Because he's...
Because, I mean, just hearing you through the phone...
Your
voice just rocks, by the way. I mean, just hearing you through the phone here. And this phone is just a...
It's just a little phone, with a mic on it.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk a lot better than I do. Let's just put it that way.
Tell you the truth, I was actually a little nervous.
Oh, please.
Believe it or not.
Call here,
you know what it is? Like I said, the main thing, as I'm sitting there, I'm saying, you called me out. I said, all right, I got to call it. And I'm like, cardinal rule number one for me was, I hate those high just checking in calls.
Yeah.
on topic, something relevant to say, because there's just too many, call up, ask the host how they're doing. The host is on the radio doing the show. That's how the host is doing.
Well,
I mean, I've always been, like, hardcore on that to a certain degree.
Cool.
And the key thing is to be able to do a great radio show without the interaction from the audience.
Yeah.
Times when you don't get the calls, unfortunately.
Well, we did that for a year.
Yeah, we did a year with no call, not even the ability to take a caller. So
yeah,
now
this is our
really
second official show with a phone line.
Yeah, so we're really happy about that. I have one question for you, and then we have to let you go.
Sure.
Famous paranormal person. Somebody in the paranormal industry.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Oh, off the top of my head. No, I can't. I'm, like, blanking. I can't.
All right, I'll fill one in for you. I'll give you Charles Tart.
Charles
Tart, T-A-R-T.
Okay.
He's very famous. He wrote a series of books way, way back. He's still very famous, and he's been on Coast to Coast and stuff like that. He does. He initially started that I started reading him out of body experience kind of stuff. He then was recently a professor at UNLV, and stuff like that. And he's really big in the paranormal field. So I'll
look him up.
You in
go on Google and look him up.
Yeah, look up Charles.
I'll do that.
Cool.
Well, we got to let you go, unfortunately. We're at the top of the hour here, so we have to take our top of the hour break. So we'll be right back here on Ghostly Talk, and we're going to talk more about this topic. Thank you for calling again. We appreciate it.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you soon. Call anytime.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
It's paranormal scientific. It's ghost and not.
We're talking about,
yeah.
God, we've talked about everything here.
We've talked about a lot of stuff, but yeah. Mostly about, you know, ghosts, which kind of fits in with Ghostly Talk.
Well, I want to thank Rich, because he really got me where I want, the zone I wanted to be in for this. He really got me in that zone, because that's what I've been thinking a lot about, was closure.
Well, closure was L.F. Midwood's
yeah, I know.
Term,
they
but
both,
yes, closure is...
That's the word I've been thinking about. As in,
and
what
Rich
would happen.
Was saying with the unfinished business.
Yeah, what would happen? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So, now that we've spent the show trying to talk about getting rid of ghosts, but we ended up talking about why ghosts are there.
Yeah.
I think I'll have to retitle the show for the archive. I do want to mention that, you know, the fellow, Don Levy, that we
yeah.
were talking about, in his article, we've been talking mostly, I think, about the final... He's got four categories of ghosts,
uh-huh.
Or entities, I guess, because some of these entities I don't think are actually ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he put together this list of you know, categories of ghosts. But he says that his final category is the true ghost or haunt, and then he says that it's a localized residual traumatic psychic imprint left on the geomagnetic grid. And confined to a specific area no bigger than 1 to 3 miles and no smaller than 1 square foot. Well, what the problem with that is he uses the word residual traumatic, or the phrase, residual traumatic psychic imprint, which sounds to me like, you know, a residual haunting, you
uh-huh.
know, something that's not a thinking haunting, something that has, you know, it's not really a spirit per se,
uh-huh.
but more a, you know, the imprint of something repeating itself time and time again.
Okay.
Yet I think he also is trying to talk about, in the same category of ghosts, you know, what we think of as ghosts, which are, you know, disembodied spirit, things that have not crossed over, or things that have crossed over but come back for some reason. And so he kind of lumps them both in.
Stop right here.
What?
Don't move. Mr. Olaf? We're take call-ins at 8:30 and 7:30.
Oh, is that him? You know what? If that's Mr. Olaf,
yeah.
I want to talk to him.
Okay.
He rocks.
Okay. You're on Ghostly Talk.
This is Kevin from Pennsylvania.
Oh, how awesome.
Ah.
That is who we wanted
you
to talk.
You are the
to.
Baddest guy I've ever met in my life, dude.
He is the ninja
yeah.
of oh my gosh, of a
everything.
Lot of things. he's interested in videography.
Yeah.
He's interested, of course, in paranormal. And he's in the Zero Point Radio chat rooms all the time.
Uh-huh.
He's very active in a lot of things. And he also did the Ghostly Talk logo and banners.
Yes. Thank
so.
You, by the way. We get to thank you, well, at least as personable as possible here.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. Those things look so cool.
You're very welcome.
Yes, you do. You rock. And your website, www.mrolaf.com. That's MROLAF.com.
What can
so
we do for
up?
You today?
Earlier on, you guys were talking about the residual hauntings.
Yes.
Like, you know, if there's no one around here, a tree fall, you know, the next town or whatever.
Yeah, wasn't that true Ghostly Talk kind of stuff, where we started talking about something and then we went just on and on and on and on and actually came out with what may be a gem of theory or a gem of theology going on or something like that. It's just like something sparked. But, yeah, that's what we were wondering about.
Well, what if the energy that the spirit uses to, like, project itself, like, so you could see it, what if it's actually not based on, like, drawing the energy from people around it that, like, are in that area, but what if it's pretty much based on the energy that of the emotion of that person when they died?
Interesting.
Right. Well, what we had a problem with that is I didn't have a problem with it. That's not a problem that I see, because energy cannot be created nor destroyed, right, according to theory.
Uh-huh.
Is that this fellow whose article we're trying to analyze, the Don Levy article, he's saying that if there's not energy there to sustain it, that it will fade over time. So I was having a problem trying to find out where this energy came from that sustains the psychic imprint.
Okay, but what you're saying, Olaf, though, is I don't want to say the dramatic effect of how they went or how bad it was. I mean, I'm trying to
trauma.
Get the trauma, the traumatic. Effect. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Traumatic.
I'm going home.
Yeah.
The traumatic effect of the situation. You're basically saying, you know, could that be an issue with that also? As opposed to someone possibly just, you know, fading away, like just dying, you know, just of natural causes of just being old possibly, or as opposed to someone who maybe was killed, like murdered in a certain situation. Is that what you're trying to get at with that?
Yeah, like the pretty much the emotions, all the trauma and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like a battery for them to project themselves, and they basically can run down that for a while.
Well, yeah, okay, let's think about it. Here's another thing, way to look at it, though, too. If you you die of natural causes, your natural life's battery runs out, right? Your soul naturally, I mean, I'm just saying, theoretically, your life's battery just kind of just dwindles out, and it's kind of like one of like the Energizer Bunny. You know, it just stops working.
And it's because your biochemical furnace, which is your body,
uh-huh.
no longer has any biochemical reactions going on.
Yeah, so you just kind of fade out.
Oh, unless you're talking about two separate energy sources.
I don't know, I just, you know.
Well, what I was getting at, though, is
okay.
you kind of just fade out. Everything's fine. You're up there. You're in age, or whatever you want to say, how you want to call it.
It's not like, you know, full of energy when you die like that.
Yeah, but you're a young stallion. You're a vibrant person, and somebody just takes you out.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a lot of energy. You still have a lot to give, and that's what I think you're. I mean, that's how I'm getting it. Why, you know, that could be an effect on a residual haunting, so to say. That, I mean, how many stories have we ever heard?
All right, so we're talking about imprinting a physical area.
Yeah.
With all of this pent-up, unspent energy or potential.
Potential energy, yeah. We can,
is that what we're talking about?
This is just getting off. That's good, though. This is good. I want this.
Well, no, this is what Kevin called for, is what, you know, you want to talk about the energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, are we back on track now?
I think so.
Okay.
So where does it come from? Where does it go?
I don't know. But no, the thing I'm getting from it, though, was that you're a young person. You have a lot of energy left. And, not even the trauma itself, I guess. Just your age, I guess, I would equate it to is, you know, if you're so young and you still have all this energy in you and all of a sudden your lights just get cut out, that could have an effect on whatever area, so to say, the residual haunting is. My point is, the thing I wanted to say was, how many, residual hauntings have we ever heard of with, like, a real old person? Like an old person.
Well, we have on the telephone somebody who's really into paranormal stuff. He may be able to tell us.
You got anything on that?
I haven't really heard of it. Like I'm actually curious to find some residual haunting places. Like,
okay.
I only know of, like, a few places, like, either you'll hear, like, old, like, music playing in, like, an old saloon or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But since the residual, that's why I wanted to see if you guys know any locations, because...
Well, you're in the... You are from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, Gettysburg. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have been to the number one place, of residual hauntings, and that would be the battlefields at Gettysburg.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that. Have you seen anything or heard anything unexplainable?
During the investigation, which more seriously. I might have actually came across something. And also, like, yeah, it was just so thrown together when we did it. We'd even, like, someone told me later on that we should have bought a little handbook that tells us all, like, the real haunted places there.
Uh-huh.
We never even thought about that until later on. But, no, we had a good time, but as for anything, like, you know, happening, I don't think we really had anything.
Well, the residual hauntings that I know of are, of course, you know, a lot. There's a lot of battlefield kinds of stories, such as Gettysburg. There's some down near Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You know, the little green ghost guy or whatever we talked about on
uh-huh.
that battlefield show.
That was our old Green Eyes.
Old Green Eyes, that's
green
it.
Eyes.
And then, but also, there's a lot that revolve around, for some reason, staircases in either hotels or restaurants.
Yeah.
Okay. So, going with that, there's actually some... Like on the Travel Channel on cable or satellite,
mm-hmm.
there's those, you know, they go to different places.
Yeah.
And some of the places they go seem to be, for some reason, there seems to be a lot of this kind of stuff going on in Florida, in, you know, old hotels and in the South. I think, Kevin,
yeah.
to find these kinds of things, you need to get on a plane or get in your car and go to Savannah, Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Absolutely everybody I've talked to when I was in Atlanta said, oh, if you're interested in ghosts, you have to go to Savannah, Georgia. They see them all the time there.
Really?
So I have
residual type hauntings?
Uh-huh. And also active hauntings.
Active
yeah.
hauntings. Okay. I'm still going back to that, though. I mean, locations are cool. But he brought his original point was, you know, what is the severity? Would that have anything to do with this energy output we mentioned early in the show of how long it may last? If we just leave it alone, it'll go away.
Well, that's what's in this article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we got it from.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, he brought up a very important point, though. Could it be the severity, the traumatic effect of the particular situation that might have resulted in this particular person or whatever's death? Why... I mean, that's just another way to look at it, I guess. Unfortunately, we don't have the answers to it. We never do.
Yeah, we don't have the answers. This is just all theory. But I also have a problem with, you know, energy can't be created nor destroyed. So why does it fade over time?
Yeah.
Is there resistance in the air that changes?
Olaf, help!
Reactions or whatever.
What was that?
With, like, you know, during the residual hauntings, if you could see something, like, manifest... Maybe that's what's taking the energy. Just the idea of them actually having to appear in, like, a form that you can see.
Well, we've talked, yeah, that's another
that could,
way to look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, because then it has gone from whatever it was, the idea of a, you know, a little blob of energy.
So it may only have, like, nine lives like a cat, basically. I mean, it only has enough energy to manifest itself so many times. And then it may still be doing it, but we may not be able to see it.
Or maybe, yeah.
Or it may not exist.
On energy.
Maybe in the event of, you know, a residual haunting in the house, what if it can even take the power from, like, the electrical wiring in the house?
I thought about that, too.
That I believe.
That was another thing I was going to get to also. Thanks for bringing it up, because I probably would have forgot about it anyways. Physical things around us. I mean, there has been hundreds of documented cases where, my God, my house is haunted. Or I'm cursed, or I'm this, or I'm that. But a lot of times they found out, they brought in researchers, and they said, okay, well, you have a set of wires over here to the east, a set of wires here to the west, a set of wires here to the north, and a set of wires here to the south. Basically, you're sitting in an electrical minefield. And sometimes weird things happen when you're sitting inside an electrical minefield. Sorry, you bought a piece of property that sucks. That's just the bottom line with that.
Right, and I've seen that, too. I've seen that on TV and
yeah.
stuff. So I know that things like that happen.
But that's another good way to look at it, too. I mean, really, there's so many. I mean, I didn't think it would get this in-depth as far as just that one sentence. Really. That's
me
what this is all stemming off that one sentence where we're going, well, this thing just fades over time. Well, you know, that's a good... Thanks for giving us that piece of information, but why?
I want to know, too.
I mean, and unfortunately, me, you, or Olaf are not going to know.
No.
We're not
going to
know,
well,
unfortunately.
Not yet.
What else, you got for, what else you got for us, Olaf?
No, I just want to call on you.
Awesome.
It's really good to meet you, at least on the as far as voices go, because, I mean... I've been to your website so many times, and I just enjoy it. I really enjoy it very much. And, I mean, as an artist, I think I really want to shake your hand, at least in Cyberland here.
So, wait. before we let you go, because I have to ask you this question.
Oh, boy.
Are you a videographer? Are you a paranormal enthusiast? What are you?
I'm an amateur videographer. Like, I like to, you know, I like to edit movies, too, and stuff like that. I like to do a little bit, like, you know, pretty much anything that's creative.
Because, yeah, because I noticed it at MrOlaf.com, M-R-O-L-A-F.com.
Yeah.
That stuff is just, some of it, well, all of it's really fascinating, but some of it is just phenomenal. I mean, you're in your house or studio or whatever you've built up, and or you're on location trying to film something, and you do these special effects that probably would cost, like, you know, Hollywood people millions of dollars to CGI together, or, you know, that kind of thing, and you're experimenting with this stuff just out of
the love to do it, basically.
The love of doing it. Isn't that awesome?
It's great. It really is. No, we really appreciate all the help you've given us so far. You really have. You've been around for...
Well,
you've been listening to the show. I know we've been talking to you for, God, months.
Yeah.
Months and months.
Almost the whole year.
Yeah, and it's great.
What's your famous parapsychological person?
I'd have to say Dr. Michael Lynch of ParanormalWorld.com.
Okay.
He's the guy that... pretty much into the whole technical aspect of capturing ghosts on film and such. Like, he built a special camera that supposedly views different ranges of light and stuff like that.
Really?
Oh, that is awesome.
Dr. Michael Lynch?
Yeah.
Excellent.
ParanormalWorld.com.
I'm going to have to check into that one, definitely.
Looks like I have to do some studying, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to throw at us before you hop off?
Yeah.
That's it. You pretty much plugged my site a few times. That's enough for me.
Well, we owe you tons more than that.
Yeah, we do.
So we'll keep plugging.
We'll keep plugging every week.
But awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
See you later.
Bye, Kevin.
Bye.
All right, well, we've completely blown out this format for the show.
I don't mind.
No, I don't mind either.
Now when we get to talk to high-quality people like Kevin and all these folks are just amazing tonight.
Because really, this is driving the show now.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of you guys noticed that out here,
well,
I mean, it's driving the show now.
Basically, we got to introduce the topic, and then we get to talk about what interests people.
Yeah.
About that topic.
I wonder if we should just, like, take the rigid schedule we put ourselves on.
And throw it away?
And throw it out the door.
Why not?
And just leave the phone line open to whatever, and we'll just go with it and see what happens.
If the light lights up, hit the button.
Yeah, are you game with that? Are you game with that?
Let's do it.
Let's just do it right here. Okay, on the air. Okay, so the line will be open for the 2 hours we broadcast on Sunday nights from 7 to 9.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave them wide open. So if you guys want to call in anytime.
While we're trying to present a topic.
Go right ahead.
Do it, because
feel free.
Then we'll let you on. Okay. I was talking about the categories.
Yeah.
That Don Levy had put into his article.
Yeah.
And that was the last category was, you know, residual haunts as well as, you know, active ghosts or ghosts who have a consciousness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other categories that he had put together, and I thought fit to mention them.
Okay.
Okay, because I think this is important. His first category, okay, because we pretty much killed the last category, although we can talk about it still. his first category was chthonic or geomagnetic entities. That's what he calls them.
That just sounds like something you don't want to mess with.
Well, and it is, because listen to what he says. These are called fairies, djinns, black dogs, etc. That's what he says.
Black dog.
Well, I think what he's talking about first of all, he says that these are all tied to geomagnetic activity. Yet, I'm still unsure. I'm unsure about that. But these kinds of hauntings or these kinds of entities, they're not really ghosts as I see them, yet these are one of his categories of ghosts.
That's pure energy.
These are, well, the black dogs, that kind of thing.
I got a black dog.
Jinn. Well, I think he means
that
the evil ones. you know, the,
this dog's stupid.
These hellhounds, I think is what he's talking about. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, yours is not a hellhound.
That's the opposite of hellhound.
So tell
it's an eating machine.
Yeah, he's just not quite the hellhound. But, you know, djinns and fairies and genies, you know, these kinds of things, these are magical creatures.
Yeah.
And magical creatures, I thought, weren't exactly ghosts. I don't know why he mentions them. What he does mention, though, for the purposes of his article, is that, you know, you can't get rid of them. No, yeah, so don't
well,
bother.
Well, a geomagnetic entity.
That's another thing. Yeah, geomagnetic entity.
Well, he's... Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, all right.
I was going to say, this geomagnetic stuff, okay, he does talk a lot about geomagnetic stuff, and...
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hello, it's Jeff, you know me as Phobos.
Hello? Who is this?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, it went quiet there.
Oh.
No, who do we know?
I was going to put an idea forward to you, actually, that perhaps to some extent anyway, the paranormal side is largely due to the people that are there. Just like, for example, do you remember the film Carrie?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course, okay. Well, I mean, that one was definitely centered around the girl. Now, okay, it's a fiction film, but
yeah.
There does seem to be a certain amount of link between the sort of people, the people that actually go there and things happen. So maybe we're talking about something that is related, at least certainly a little bit, to the people that turn up.
So you mean that if a tree falls in the woods and you're not around to hear it, you wouldn't hear it?
Not quite like that.
Okay, well then.
I lost that. No, who do we know you as?
You know me as Phobos.
Okay.
That's the handle anyway.
Cool. Okay. All right. And so then we've got, okay, so the people, you don't mean necessarily the observers, or is it a combination of the observers of a phenomenon as well as something, you know, a person that it centers around?
Actually, what I've got in mind is sort of a level above that. It's based on the idea that perhaps telepathy is real, and that just like a mind is a collection of brain cells,
yeah,
it could be that a collection of human brains communicating telepathically, even if it's subconsciously, whatever.
So you're talking about a group effort, basically.
Yeah, you can have like a super mind.
We've talked about that.
Multiple super minds, which are, in effect, people. Now, these sort of people are part you, part me, part everyone.
Okay.
We die. Those sort of things might live on.
Well, we've talked,
so,
I mean, maybe not necessarily...
A bit of something which could be described as supernatural, but it might just be living in the minds that are still alive. Basically a collection of lots of brains forming a super mind.
And does this exist in space-time, or does this exist on a different plane?
Well, that would basically exist in the present, but it would have the memories of the past. It would,
right.
In effect, because it's working as a mind, a collection of other brains, forming a super mind, as I've called it, if you like.
Yeah.
That in itself becomes just as much a real person as you and me. Once you've got enough of these minds together, you have the potential for complexity, for consciousness. That consciousness, some people might even believe it to be God or whatever, but it could have a identity of its own. And it could be some sort of combination of the identities of the people that are talking through it, so to speak.
Would that be what you could call the Akashic Records? Or because the Akashic Records are supposed to be, even though when you think of records, you're thinking of like some big book or something where everything's written down.
Yeah.
But this is I think you mean more like there's like this superconscious, this mind of which each individual human brain and other things are a part of that form this humongous
mainframe.
Yeah, mainframe of some kind, and then therefore
Matrix, I suppose, as well. But
yeah.
We're computer geeks.
You see,
yeah.
Though, the human minds that are alive now,
yeah,
as nodes of the larger mind. Now we tend to think of consciousness as being like one identity, but really, that's only trying to put things down in our level of thinking.
Well, we did talk a few weeks ago about Mr. Aaron Donahue. I don't know if you're familiar with Aaron Donahue. And one of his theories was that we all belong to one gigantic, we're all part of one gigantic consciousness.
And we're all, if that consciousness dies, we all die with it, too.
Right, and he says, his specific theory was that that's very much tied and in tune with the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And if we kill the planet Earth, we all die as well. Our souls, our
consciousness itself, yes,
dies. That was his theory. That's why we talked about him.
Well, I'm putting it more along the lines that this superconsciousness is the only way you can term it.
You're talking about maybe a select number of people.
The human brain, though, passively, in other words, they may not even know they're using it. As long as you are able to communicate telepathically, you could be part of this big matrix, which is practically, for a better term, alive.
Wow.
So,
well, besides the fact
like
that you should start...
Like a super internet, if you like. That's another way of putting it.
Yeah, like a humongous internet of living beings.
Well, besides the fact that you should start your own show, because that is just... I'm blown away now.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. That was straight up brilliant. I mean, that...
I thought I'd find a different dimension on it.
No, that is... I'm speechless right now, so Doug, you have to talk. Okay?
Well, good.
I can't.
Good, because I have a question. I need to know from you first, before we get back into that, who's your famous parapsychological person?
Oh, well, I thought that one was coming, so I had one up my sleeve. I suppose it's a little bit cheesy. He's Israeli, but he's also British, really, to some extent. He's Uri Geller.
Oh, awesome.
Him the person I know, anyway.
And I don't, because I can't tell, because you've got an absolutely phenomenal voice. I can't tell how old you are, but do you remember watching Uri Geller on TV?
I've seen him on the television. I'm just coming up to the big 4-0, so it's approaching. Oh.
did he bend any spoons in your house?
Oh, no. I have no direct contact. I've only through the media. I mean, I actually worked in the media, but nothing direct at all.
Well, no, I think what Uri Geller I thought was famous for, at least on here in
Moonbender, he's basically probably of the paranormal. He's probably one of the most famous people around.
Undoubtedly, unquestionably.
I would still put a big question mark because he still strikes me very much as a magician. But you never know, do you?
Who knows?
I think he's done some amazing stuff.
This is ghostly talk. I don't think we really
we don't
have any limits on anything anymore.
Yeah, I've talked about so much stuff over the past year that I'm willing to believe that he can do certain things that I cannot explain.
The phone line is dangerous because we're getting brilliant people like that on the line now.
It's going to make us look bad.
They're just killing it. But no, that
it's
was
not
new.
Meant to be a takeover bit, honestly.
No, really, that was. I mean, I gotta think about this and get back to the ice. I can't. I'm like
no. I like the idea, but I do want to ask another question about the idea that you're talking about. Okay.
Yep.
The superconscious.
Yep.
Where does the energy come from? Where does it go? Where does the energy for it exist?
The building consists of nothing but its bricks and its windows. But basically, with the superconsciousness, would be nothing more than that. With us, we the minds. Might not be all human, you could theoretically include animals, but anything that's capable of consciousness, that's capable of telepathic communication between conscious beings, could then become part of a grid which could be acting in its own right as with its own identity. Now that identity may not be something that which we could equate to what we're used to. It might not be like one mind like we think of.
Uh-huh.
And it may be able to use us as tools. So it would consist nothing more than just like bricks in a house. We would be the bricks.
We would form each brick forms the house itself.
Yeah, this
perhaps a better analogy is we're like one of the chips in a memory board inside a PC.
Okay, now we understand.
Hey, ooh,
you got us now.
Yeah.
Okay, now we get it. That is so insightful. I mean,
it's awesome.
Imagine one part of memory on a computer chip has been used to store lots of different things, and from the perspective of the memory chip, it may have its own unique identity and do its own form, but it might not see the whole picture. It wouldn't be aware that it's part of a game of Quake or whatever it happens to be doing.
Yeah.
Because it would see the world from
its own
unique...
It's just one byte of information, yeah.
Did you just attempt to explain God or the...
well, it actually came about aside from a golf discussion on the Anomalies Network, actually.
Okay.
Well, it's still a ghostly talk cat as well.
Well, that really, thank you for bringing that up, because, I mean, I have about a good week of thinking to do at work now. Because of that one, well, that your comment
one,
alone.
Yeah,
I mean,
that one observation.
Well, we often think about that, though. I know as people, we all think about that, coming off of what you're saying, sir, is that, you know, I ask myself this all the time. What the hell am I doing here? What am I one little jigsaw piece in the whole puzzle of whatever existence there is? Or, I mean, people ask themselves that all the time, and I know people do.
Well, if it's true, and I'm only saying if because it's just a thought, but if it's true, then you might be the mechanism by which ghosts exist because that's where they exist. You.
Yeah.
You're the vessel.
I'm falling up, Doug.
I'm in awe, first of all, of the theory. I'm shocked that it was brought up on Ghostly Talk, but at the same time, I'm having a bit of a few problems with it.
That's fine.
And what my problems are is I still cannot see how or why or where, or if maybe this supersedes where the energy comes from for it, because I know that we're like little memory chips or we're little pieces of this.
I mean, in a computer, the energy comes from the electricity feeding all the devices. So in a memory chip, you have electricity flowing through it.
Yes.
You're looking at the same thing, only you're just looking at it at a larger scale. You're saying the whole computer consists of the memory chips all combined together, and they're performing something which is, well, it's
all systematic, really.
Universal energy, though.
It's all systematic, though, really. When you break it down like he is, it's all systematic. Every piece works, has its function. They may not know what their function is, but each piece has its function, and it works to the greater function, which is the computer itself, so to say.
And that's good, but that same analogy, though, precludes the ability of us to ever see the whole. It means that we will never know the whole.
Yeah.
Even through as much thought as we can put in or as many ideas as we can banter about, we will never know the whole because we are just...
A bit like this as well. The current thinking is that human beings as complex organisms came about spontaneously with no control. All right, there's a religious way to look at it as well. I'm just looking at the standard science view that out of the genetic soup came us and we evolved to where we are.
Yeah.
Well, if you go with that, then you have to say, well, if we are able to communicate telepathically, then that same evolution process could have to form a superorganism. Something which doesn't actually have anything obvious as a single organic form, but still can form a mind, as it were, a supermind, based on the organisms there. But it could function just like your mind. Your mind, when you look at it under a microscope, that doesn't make sense from how it works as a whole. Looking at one little part doesn't make any sense at all. But you have to see it from the whole. And
and
that's where ghosts are coming from.
Yeah.
They are living in the living.
Absolutely.
So there's no, but there is there no place in this theory for ghosts to be of their own?
Well, that would really just come down to definition, because, I mean, how would you define yourself as an individual?
I'm a jerk.
Would you include the fact that...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
No. All right, well, yeah, myself as an individual. Well, that's interesting because that's taken a couple twists and turns over the past year. But right now, myself as an individual, I thought I was, you know, basically mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
But now I'm mind, body, spirit, and a part of something bigger.
Yeah.
If we go with this, you know, I love
if we go spirit. With your if we go with your theory, based on
it exists if the theory is correct. It's just may have another use. I sound like
five uses right now. I can't.
No, more different than the bacteria in your own stomach, but you know, it's something.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah, and I've seen this particular thing. If you look at the what's that book? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they have to, or what the one of the characters does, evidently, from what I remember, and this is going back to junior high, so that's a long time for me. is look into, he has to look into this, like, people or this box or something like
yeah.
that, where what he will find is he will see himself in relation to all other things. And evidently, whoever looks at this and sees it goes absolutely insane because you then realize how minuscule you are in the scheme of all things.
I realize that every single day when I go to work. But, no, that is just an app. That's very insightful. Thank you for bringing that to us, because everybody gets a chance to think about that now, thanks to you.
Well, I'll also let someone else have a chance to call in. I'm sure you're going to get plenty more now.
I hope so.
Well, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break.
I just said.
Yeah. You guys talk about this on the anomalies in the chat rooms or on the bulletin boards?
Well, I'm normally in the chat room. I do put submissions into the bulletin board, but it's been pretty busy at the moment at work.
Yeah. So if you go, so the chat rooms are, you go to anomalies.net, which is anomalies.net,
mm-hmm.
and click on the chat. I think it's a big word.
Chat now.
Yeah, and you go in there, and you're in the, you usually hang out in the pound anomalies section.
In the anomalies, occasionally I'll be in the 0 Point Radio, but I'm in the anomalies. It's like a port of call, and then people should really, I suppose, be in the 0 Point Radio when the show's
done. Well, we're gonna let you go though, because we're gonna go to the bottom of the hour break here. But
yeah.
Thank you for calling in. Feel free to call us anytime.
Yeah, because we need our minds expanded every
exactly.
so often.
Exactly, and that's exactly what you did. So thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
You have
then.
A great day. Thank you. Okay, so we're gonna take a break.
And I gotta. Oh my god.
I have to go to the bathroom.
I have to go and put my head back on.
Yeah, I'm.
I need to get
I'm
something
hurting.
Stronger than Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, I gotta add some rum to this. We'll be right back.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chain, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on 0 Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
What are we talking about again?
We're trying to talk about, well, we were talking about originally getting rid of ghosts. Now we have several interesting things.
Yeah.
If we are all part of a super consciousness, you cannot get rid of ghosts, is my take on the subject.
Basically,
because they are us.
Yeah.
If, what was Rich saying? Oh, if I'm trying to go through this, you guys, my mind is now, you know, it's
no,
like
I'm
bursting.
Steaming. This has been a bad enough day already, and I got.
But if you could perform the ritual of banishment,
yeah,
the lesser ritual of banishment
mm-hmm.
to clear the space, even if you can't get rid of them, you know, as the last colors that at least you could clear them away from your immediate area.
Yes.
So if you combine riches plus that one, then you just, all you could really hope to do is push them away from you temporarily.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Jeff's mom again.
Oh, how cool.
Hi, Mom.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
What's up, Mom?
I'm not on the radio, though.
Oh, well, yes, you are.
You're on the radio right now.
Well, I don't hear me.
Well, no, this is internet radio, Mom. This is not like the regular radio.
Right, there's a delay. There's 17 seconds delay from our source to the server in Houston, and then there's going to be a 17 or so second delay from there until it hits your speakers on your PC.
What's up, Mom?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if I could really do this.
You can.
Well, have you been listening to the show, Mom?
Yeah.
And do you have any ideas?
No.
Fine, Lambert upbringing there.
Actually, that's one of the best ways to do it, from what I hear.
Really, that is, and I wanted to mention that too. Basically, the get the hell out of my house theory.
Yeah,
that tends to work a lot, and that's what.
If that and you are, because that is the number one theory that I've seen as far as getting rid of them, is you tell them in no uncertain terms they are not welcome there, that if you know they can go do whatever they want wherever they want as long as it's not where you are, and in your house, and that's like the number one theory that I've heard.
Or even if you want, if you can be around me, but just don't interfere with what I have to get done. I know people say that too. Like, I don't want this particular spirit to leave. I don't mind having him or her or whatever here, but I don't want them to interrupt with my life and with the things that I have to get done every day.
I do have a ghost, though, in my house.
And what is that, Mom? When did you get a ghost in the house?
It's my mother.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
What have you experienced?
I talked about this. Go ahead, Mom.
You did. You told me about this.
And when I get upset, the doll will ding, and she tells me what I have to do.
I tell you, you know what, Mom? I did talk about this one time. I did, but...
Was it on the air or was it in...
It was on the air here. It's on our archives,
And
my dad was in the hospital, and I didn't know if I should go see him or not go see him, and the doll dinged, and that meant go see him. So I got in the car and I went. The doll my mom gave me many, many years ago. It's a ceramic music doll. There is good ghosts.
Oh,
I don't know if she's a ghost or if she's just her soul.
Right. And it could be the spirit of or the remembrance of and seeking guidance. But
that doll does tell me when I need to. I know when she's here.
Do you take comfort from that?
Oh,
well, let me tell you something about this particular situation, all right? Mom, tell me if I go too far, just tell me to shut my mouth, okay? When her mother, my grandmother, passed away, my grandmother, basically, she had cancer and she was just dying.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother pretty much spent a good, better part of a month with my grandmother. Just
okay.
6 months.
Yeah, well, long story where I'm coming from. But
the worst part was about the month.
Yeah. She basically stayed with her for, well, according to her, 6 months, basically, right around there. And she took care of her. Everything from feeding her to taking her to the bathroom.
Yeah, all of the necessities. Yeah.
And
that's admirable. Good job.
Yeah. And, I mean, I never really learned to appreciate that. I didn't really appreciate that, because I have a whole story about that whole thing.
Well, when you're young, you're always...
But that leads us to another story concerning this, because I remember the day before my grandmother passed away, I was sitting in a restaurant parking lot waiting for my friend to meet me there. And my mom and my dad were completely bitching me up and down. Sorry. They were yelling at me to go see my grandmother. And me being fresh out of high school... with nothing but women and partying on my mind, I'm like, well, she'll be okay. She'll be fine. I'll be all right. And I remember sitting in this parking lot, and I was waiting for my friend Dave to come pick me up or meet me there.
is we were just going to have dinner together and just hang out. And I remember sitting there thinking about my grandmother in my car. And for no reason whatsoever, I just burst into tears. I mean, I just completely broke down and just face first in my steering wheel. I was completely freaked out. My friend Dave come to pick me up, or meet me there. Come to meet me there. And I'm like, dude, I'm getting in your car. I can't drive right now. You need to take me out of my grandma's house. I need to see her. You need to get me. And he's like, what are you talking about, man? I'm like, no, take me down there right now. You know where we have to go. Just take me there. And I went there and saw my grandmother. And sure enough, the next morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, my sister came down to my room, which was presently was in the basement at the time, when I lived with my parents, and said, 4 o'clock. She woke me up out of bed. She's like, Grandma died. She's gone. And that has put the hook in me ever since. So that whole situation had a whole spiritual feel to it. There was something really going on there that was not of this world, to be honest with you. And my mom will agree with me on that, too.
Oh, but it's also in your heart, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
In your heart.
But it was, but she, yeah, I did talk about that, though, before. I remember mom telling me about that, about her doll that dings, that dings whenever she has a real hard decision to make or something that she has that's eating at her.
If I'm lonely or blue and I walk through my room and for no reason it'll ding, I'll just get that relief. So there's good spirits and bad spirits.
Well, we both know Grandma was a good spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Grandma was a good lady.
Also, and this is probably just like a dream, I'm laying in the bed and I got woke up or halfway woke up. And I seen a shadow standing in my doorway. There was somebody standing there. I seen him.
Was this
around when Grandma passed away, Mom?
No, this was just probably a year ago.
Did you get good feelings or bad feelings?
It scared me, but I was able to go back to sleep.
Okay.
It might have been me.
It wasn't bad, but there was somebody there. I seen a shadow of a tall man.
Wow.
Of the door, like leaning into the door, and that I seen that it woke me up, and I seen it.
Well,
it didn't scare me, so it couldn't have been bad.
Right, because you would have been petrified, and
I was able to lay back down and go to sleep.
So
it couldn't have been bad.
Well, that's awesome because that means that
there was a good feeling there. If you were comfortable, I mean, I think honestly, I mean, if we all came face to face with something like you saw, Mom, we'd all be scared instinctively. I think we'd all be like, "Whoa, what the heck was that?" Because it's not something we're used to seeing.
But maybe because I was sleeping and I was like half in and half out, it didn't frighten me.
That could have been the issue too. That could have been the issue also.
Cool.
But, yeah.
All right.
Well, Mom, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Help call in. I just thought I'd come and say hi.
Oh, no. Call anytime.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show, Mom. You said you were going to listen, and I didn't know if you were going to listen or not.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to let you go, okay, Mom?
All right.
We'll talk to you soon, Mom.
You asked me if I was smoking?
No.
No. Who asked you if you were smoking?
Right. No, that wasn't us.
That wasn't us.
That was the other voices in your head.
Well, there's many. Well, you know.
Yeah, well.
So,
all right, Mom, I'll call you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that was fantastic. Well, all right, now this is good. I wanted to mention this.
Yeah.
We had a hard time getting your mom to listen to the show, not because she didn't want to, but because she needed to get that Winamp program and things like that on the new computer.
Uh-huh.
And you finally did that, and now finally she can listen, and I am so happy about that.
Well, so am I.
I am. I think that that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think she figured, well, all it really is now is just clicking a button. So.
Yeah. And
I think we got it broken down to the fundamental aspects where we can just, hey, Mom.
I think that's awesome. And she's got it now, and she's listening, and she's even interacting with us.
That's good,
and sharing, and that's what we need.
That's what we need, yeah. I mean, it don't matter, obviously. We have our own parents call here. It's okay. Anybody can call here. If you have something good to say, which obviously the last 2 hours, we've received some calls here that have just floored us.
So his other, okay, let's go on to these other categories.
Okay.
The demon dogs and things like that you can't get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the... Oh, I'll never pronounce that, but it's the clathodic.
I saw that thing, and that's why I gave you the paper.
Yeah, the clathodic entities, which are brought into existence by people dabbling in black magic practices such as necromancy, sex magic, elemental magic, channeling, etc. These are free agent ghosts, which tend to have no will of their own. They can be commanded to carry out missions, but once created or empowered, they are difficult to get rid of. He says that about the only way you can get rid of those is if you actually quit using them as you know, agents to do your bidding, and also give them no more power, and then they will simply fade away completely. And that's another one of those that, you know, I don't understand where the energy comes and goes.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
I understand the phenomenon. The phenomenon is you create a demon,
yes,
which is basically a, you know, a, something to do your bidding.
You're on Ghostly Talk.
Hey, this is Mike Ross from Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, how you doing?
Oh, awesome. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I love your show. I'm really excited to call in.
Well, thank you.
Cool.
I just heard you guys talking with your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Scott's mom.
Yeah.
My question is, if you have a ghost, do you necessarily want to get rid of it?
What was the question again?
If you have a ghost, do you necessarily want to get rid of it?
That all depends on what you want.
Well, in the case of Scott's mom, she doesn't want to get rid of it because it's the spirit of her mother. And it helps her in her life when she needs it. And so she doesn't want to get rid of that.
No.
But there are people, because I remember talking with, was it Monica of the Ohio State Reformatory folks? So we were talking with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And they were being pestered by a ghost because the person that we were talking, I think it had to have been Monica because she's sensitive.
Uh-huh.
And evidently she attracts ghosts that have to get their messages through or have to,
yeah,
or spirits that have to get their messages through or want her to do something for them or that, you know, they can easily interact with her as opposed to me, you know, because I have no senses.
Yeah.
But so they attach themselves to her and then she has to get rid of it. Either, you know, by doing what it wants, you know, like passing a message along or taking down its information or whatever they want to do, you know, telling it, I'm sorry, I can't help, go away. And she was asking us pretty much, how do you get rid of a ghost that just won't go away?
Yeah.
And at the time, we didn't know, and I still don't pretty much know other than, you know, what's here in this article.
Yeah, I think my exact answer to that question was, like, you're the sensitive.
You
Why don't you
know.
Figure
Yeah, that was a year ago that we were talking to her. So, was it Nicole or Monica?
I'm sure it was Monica.
So there are some instances where ghosts are pests.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
I have to say that at one point I lived in a house that I was terrified of.
Okay.
And I just wound up leaving the house. Nothing attached itself to me.
You just left.
Yeah, I just left.
Well, we did discuss that earlier, too, where certain ghosts, I hate to use the word, but they're territorial. They have their area they are in. That's where they belong, and that's their domain. You go in there, they're going to make sure that their presence is known to you. Like I said, I use the analogy of the dog. I hate to use that, but have you ever been chased down the street by a dog when you were a kid or something like that?
Yeah.
And the dog's just chasing you down the street, and all of a sudden it just stops chasing you, and there's no fence, there's nothing in its way at all, but it just knows its boundaries, and that's it. It'll leave you alone after that. But if you come back in there he is again. I don't think ghosts necessarily chase you around. If they do, I'd be leaving like you were.
Yeah.
But you said you just left, though, right?
Yeah, I still live about a quarter mile from the place, but maybe half a mile. But it was a dorm I was assigned to live in, and I just ended up, after I left the school, you know, I was very happy not to return to that dorm.
What types of things happened to you?
Just a really bad feeling on one floor, you know, bad dreams I couldn't explain. You'd hear voices, and you'd enter into a room thinking there'd be people there, but there was no one there. And, a really scary thing that happened in that house was you'd hear the scratching sound. And the girl who's now my wife used to hear the scratching sound, too, and she never took an interest in it, but
uh-huh.
I took an interest in it and tried to figure out where it was coming from, because I was convinced at first there were rats in my room.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. Eventually, it started sounding like it was coming out of the middle of a window pane.
A window pane.
Yeah,
well,
and then like it would just move all around the room, and it terrified me every time that sound started up.
Well, you know the power of you know, that they attach to crystals and then therefore glass, you know, and also, you know, how you can make glass into a prism kind of thing that separates energy. And, I mean, glass has its own kind of interesting properties, so I can see why that may manifest there to start.
Well, did you hear about any history of the dorm itself? Did something happen there, possibly, that may have triggered these events?
Well, it used to be... No, it wasn't always a dorm.
Okay.
It used to be a big mansion. And I didn't really ever find out anything about it. I mean, or anyone who lived there.
Okay. Because, you know, that's one thing I probably would have checked out, you know, just to see what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
But scratching... Well, you made a good point, though, about crystals.
Yeah, crystals, glass, you know, silica, that kind of thing. It has interesting properties that are used by, you know, mediums and psychics and spiritual folks
mm-hmm.
who to, you know, to enhance or power or evidently crystals hold power. Glass is, you know, a little bit different in that it's made of, you know, the sand.
Okay.
But it has similar properties.
Okay, Mike, quick, real quick.
Okay.
Famous paranormal person.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Famous paranormal person.
Famous?
Yeah, famous person. Your favorite famous paranormal person.
Oh. Edgar Casey.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a winner.
I've been doing a lot of reading on Edgar Casey as far, I've been reading a lot of books as far as authors like Eric Von Daniken. I've been reading Bivol's stuff as far as the Giza Plateau goes and the mysteries of the pyramids. And Edgar Casey, he's a topic of so much discussion concerning that. And some of his predictions as far as the Hall of Records and the Atlanteans
and all
those types of things. He is such an insightful person. And as far as a favorite person, I'm going to have to agree with you. He's one of my probably at least my top five list of favorite paranormal people.
Well, he is my top number one.
Yeah. Wow. Doug loves that guy.
Yeah.
You're like Doug's new friend. All right. Mike, we got to fly out of here because we're at the top of the hour. We have to end the show really soon. But
okay.
Thanks for calling in. Feel free to call in any time, all right?
Great.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks
cool.
a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Totally cool.
You guys are just eating up our show.
So
we
at
love
the
it.
Very, at the very end, we come up all the way around full circle to some of them you don't even want to get rid of.
No.
Because
why would
no
you?
Point. Yeah.
I mean,
why?
My mother, for example, I mean...
You don't want to get rid of that one.
That comforts her.
Yeah.
And she's told me about that so many times, and that's why I've talked about it on the show, and we talked about it again tonight, thanks to her. But, you know, I mean, some people want those spirits around. Some people are just lonely, man. Some people are just lonely, and they're not scared of something like that. And some people want someone to be there so bad that if there is a spirit of some kind there, they embrace it. I mean, I know that's how some people probably feel, is that... You know, this person obviously wants me to, they want to tell me something. Why not listen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least listen first. That would be my opinion of the whole thing for all this. I know some people are just skeptical and they don't want to deal with it, period. And I understand that. But if you want to learn, I mean, just anything in life, paranormal or not, I mean, you have to listen all the time. You have to listen to what people are saying.
And be open to it.
Yeah. And if spirit or not, be open to it. And if you don't want it there, then make a decision based on that. But I wouldn't just try to scoff it off, you know, as soon as you hear about something like that.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
No, that's not, yeah.
No, that's not being open minded. You can't learn, you can't grow that way.
The last kind of ghost in the article is the deity or Holy Ghost that's more on the, you know, the level of the ghosts or things that inspire awe in people.
Yeah.
And, he says basically that's he's a little bit cynical about that particular kind. So I don't think we'll talk about that kind of ghost, especially since we're bumping up against the end of the show.
9 o'clock hour.
But at the same time, it's a very interesting article. If you get a chance, take
look
a look
up,
for...
Look up. Go into Google and just type in Jacob Jack Donlevy. You spell that Donlevy. And you could probably get this article up on there. Got to thank all the callers tonight.
Thank you, everybody.
We really, I mean, I still have a voice.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm usually crackling by the end of the show.
Just because we only talked about a third of the show, and everyone else talked the rest of it.
Yeah, so we need to thank you guys for calling in. The insightfulness is just, I'm in awe.
Listen up. Next on Zero Point Radio is WSRS with Art and Rob. And with that, that's the end of Ghostly Talk for this week.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
true science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.